place in me you will find. Take the dearest things to me, if that's how it must be, to draw me closer to thee. Let the disappointments come, lonely days without the sun. If through sorrow, more like you I'll become. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, that's what I'll be willing to do. For whatever it takes to be more like you, that's what I'll be willing to do. Take my houses and lands, take my dreams and my plans, for I'm placing my whole life in your hands. And if you call me today to a land far, Lord, I'll go and your will obey. For whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'll be willing to do. That's what I'll be willing to do. I'll trade sunshine for rain, comfort for pain. That's what I'll be willing to do. That's what I'll be willing to do.
Isaiah chapter 9. Miss Barbara, if y'all stay ready for invitation 2, y'all can do that all over again if y'all would. She's talking about it fitting with everything. She has no idea how well it fits this morning. And boy, wasn't that beautiful. I want you to know you can have eternity today. You can have grace, you can have mercy, you can have the love of God, you can have peace that passeth all understanding. You can have joy out of this world. You can have joy that comes from another world. But you got to lay it down. And you got to give it to God this morning. And I tell you, when a man and a woman and a child will get to the place where whatever I got to do to get what I can from the Lord, I'll be willing to do. And let me tell you, that's where God wants us this morning. He wants us at that place that we're willing to lay our pride to the side, to accept the things He's trying to give us. He's trying to give us that eternity. He's trying to give us that love and that grace. But you got to be willing to do whatever it takes to lay it down. Lay it down. Are you glad to be here this morning? What a sweet, sweet spirit that there is in this place. I know the Lord's in this place. You look around and attendance is down a little bit and it's rainy and it's dreary. But Lord, inside of our souls, we ought to be on fire this morning. God's good. God's faithful. And I tell you, He's worthy to be praised this morning. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I do want to say this while you're standing this evening. Brother Ward Rabb, our contractor, will be here. If you don't normally come on Sunday night, I want you to make an exception, and I want you to come tonight. We have having to change things up in our building program, and I'm going to ask the church to be here tonight. BTC starts at 5 o'clock, church about 5:45, so y'all be here this evening for this. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, a prophecy of Isaiah years and years before the Lord came. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And this is the phrase I want us to pay attention to this morning, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. If you would turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, Isaiah prophesied that Jesus, the Son of the living God, would come and He would be the Prince of Peace. Luke chapter 2 and in verse 8. And they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Isn't that beautiful? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. If you ever want to know what we're going to do when we get to glory land, here you go. Of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Help me preach this sermon, Lord. Lord, don't let me say anything out of the way. I want your will to be done. Lord, may we apply this to our hearts and our life. Just open our hearts up to this, Lord. May our hearts be soft and pliable to the preaching of your word. Lord, may we allow you to bring peace to our life. I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah introduced to us our Lord. Years before Jesus ever came, He introduced us to Him as the Prince of Peace. That word peace in the Hebrew means to be put to rest. It is in contrast with strife. It is denoting the absence or end of strife. Peace doesn't only mean to rest, but it means to be put to rest. It means that we are made to have peace, that someone brings that peace to us. It simply denotes that we begin with confusion. We begin with chaos, but one brings into our life the sense of rest. One brings all of that confusion to an end. And the Isaiah, the prophet, introduced Jesus as the Prince of this peace. The word Prince denotes that He is the one that will be bringing this peace unto us. There is confusion in this world. There is chaos in our life. How can we be put to rest? By giving ourselves to Jesus Christ. There is only one that can bring you true peace, and that's Jesus Christ. Isaiah called Him the Prince of Peace. If you want peace, you must Go to Jesus. He keeps His word. Everything that He's ever told you is true. He won't lie to you. I guarantee you can guarantee what Jesus says to be the truth. You can rely on Him. You can put your confidence in Jesus. When everything else in the world's going wrong, let me tell you, everything that's right is in the Word of God this morning. It's right in Jesus this morning. May I tell you that if you want peace, if you need peace, and I don't know about you, but I need peace. The only way to have an end to that strife that we go through is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And there in the book of Luke chapter 2, the angel appears unto these shepherds and said that this Savior, this child, this Prince of Peace is now born. And I love what they said in verse 13, that the heavenly hosts begin to sing and they begin to praise that the Son of the living God has taken on flesh and now is dwelling among men. And I love what it says in verse 14, glory to God in the highest. Something about this song that they're singing is that this is the same song that they've been singing since Genesis 1:1. The angels and the heavenly multitude has been singing glory to God for all of these ages. For all of eternity, the angels have been singing glory and singing praises to God, who is worth all the honor and glory in this world. Amen? But now their song is a little different. Now they can say something and sing something that they've never been able to sing before. And notice what they said here in verse 14. And on earth, peace. And on earth, peace. Now, finally, peace has come to the earth. The angels, the heavenly multitude, is singing that peace is now here. Why was peace now there? Because the Son of the living God has been born. He has been given to man. And now on earth, peace. There hasn't been peace since the Garden of Eden. There hadn't been peace since the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Before the curse of sin, there hadn't been peace. And now the angels and the heavenly multitude said, now peace is on earth. Peace on earth. I want you to notice first off this morning the peace that was brought to the earth. The peace that was brought to the earth at that time. When Jesus came to the earth, He was given to the lost sheep of Israel. Understand that at this time, Israel and the Jews were under spiritual and physical bondage. You see, the Jews was under this Roman occupation, and for 500-600 years, they have been going to Babylon. They have been here and they have been there. There has been no stability in their life. There has been no physical stability. They were under this occupation. They were slaves to the Romans. They had to do what they were told to do. They had no freedom. They had no liberty in the physical realm. But when it comes spiritually, it was even worse. And their spiritual problem was even worse. And their mental problem was even worse. And they were tied down to these rituals. And they were tied down to this ceremonial law. And they were tied down to these things that brought more bondage than it did true peace and joy. And yes, it worked for a while. And yes, it was good enough for a while. But it didn't truly put an end to sin and strife in their life. And I want you to know that these Jews were living in complete chaos at this time. Understand, when Jesus came to the earth, listen to me, He came for the Jews. He came to seek and to save the house of Israel. He came to bring peace to every Jew that dwelled upon the face of the earth. And these Jews that lived in this confusion and chaos, Jesus came to be their Savior. And so here's this heavenly multitude singing to these shepherds about peace. A peace these shepherds didn't know much about. This peace that the Jews didn't know much about. And now the heavenly host is singing about a peace that goes beyond our imagination. But they understood this peace. This was called the Pax Romana or Romana, which was a Roman peace. And this was a peace that they understood that the Romans experienced in about 20 BC. And for about 200 years, they lived under this time of what they called Roman peace. And this is what brought this peace about. This peace come from their occupation of all their territories. You see, of the Roman Empire, they were at their biggest during the days of Christ. And they have scattered about. The population was huge. The land territory was huge. They had everything that they wanted. And so instead of fighting like they had been, they stopped fighting. They just occupied all these other countries. They were in power everywhere. They had all the money. They had all the riches. And they had everything. And for almost 200 years, they went without fighting. And so here they had this peace. But understand that their peace came at the expense of the confusion of the Jews. And as long as they had other people in submission, as long as they had other people at their beckoning call, they had peace. Friend, there's no peace in that, okay? This peace that the Romans experienced was a false sense of peace. And so many times people will rise up on stage and they will give all of these promises that I can give you the best of the best of the best. Government after government, president after president, leader after leader throughout all ages has stood up and said, I'm going to bring peace. I'm going to work everything out. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Do you remember 8 years ago when our president said the same thing, that I'm going to bring peace? This politician we have now that's elected, he's saying the same thing. Boy, I'm going to make America great again. And these people tell us these lies, okay? Listen to me. They tell us these lies. Because 8 years later, we still don't have peace. Things aren't worked out like they said they would be 8 years ago. And 8 years from now, they're probably not going to be worked out if we put our faith in Donald Trump. But if we put our faith in Jesus, if we put our faith in the Prince of Peace, if you want peace on this earth, it cannot come through a plan of a man. It cannot come through an earthly system. It must come from a heavenly system. And it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. If we want peace on this earth, it's going to be from Jesus. These Jews are living upon the face of the earth. And most of these Jews for their entire life have experienced nothing but confusion and chaos. And these Jews lived in this and they needed some peace. They needed some stability in their life. Man, could you imagine the confusion they were living in? And all they wanted to do was rest. You know what Jesus did? He came to bring that rest to them. He came to bring that stability to their life. Do you remember when Philip met Jesus? I love this. And Philip fell in love with Jesus and he went and told Nathanael. He said, oh, I met the man today. I met the Son of God. Come see a man named Jesus. Come see this Savior from Nazareth. He said, oh, there's nothing good that's going to come from Nazareth. And then when Nathanael got down there and he met Jesus, he said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. What is so interesting about that statement is Israel hadn't had a throne for 500 years. Israel had not had a throne or a king for 500 years. They had no government. They were living under the Roman government. But when this man met Jesus, he knew that this Jesus was the rightful king to the throne. And he knew that this Jesus could bring stability to his people. And oh, if the Jews would just have faith in their Messiah, Jesus would bring this peace and he would put an end to this Roman occupation and he would bring an end of all of this chaos. All they had to do was accept him as their Messiah. All they had to do was believe, just like Nathanael, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Oh, the rightful King, to bring stability and peace. Jesus was given to this earth. And that Jewish time was one of the most chaotic time. And may I tell you, the best man that ever walked upon the face of the earth was Jesus Christ. And he was given to a hateful world. He was given to a conniving world, a bitter world, a mean world, hateful world. Jesus is the definition of sweet. Jesus is the definition of lovely. May I tell you, when Jesus came to this world, he came to save the Jews. And he came to bring stability to their life. And he came to save them. And you know how he did it? He went about and he healed them. He went about and he fed them. And every time somebody had a cry, he had an answer. Every time somebody had an ache, He had a miracle. I'm telling you, every time somebody had a tear, He had compassion. And I want you to know that Jesus came to this world to bring peace to the Jews. He came to bring peace on earth. And the Jews could have experienced it. But they denied Him as their Savior and their Messiah. And they continued in that confusion that they lived in. You know why? Because they denied Jesus as their Messiah. May I tell you, there will continue to be confusion in our life as long as we deny Jesus as our Messiah. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And He came to bring peace to the Jews. May I tell you that He came to the earth to bring peace to the Jews. But when denied, He went to the cross to bring peace to every heart in the world. When the Jews denied Him, when the Jews said, I don't want Him, He said, well, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die. And you may not be able to have peace on earth, but I'm going to make it where you can have peace in your heart. Hello. Are y'all listening? You may not be able to have peace on this earth because the Jews rejected it, but maybe now you can at least have peace in the depths of your heart and your soul. I want you to look in Colossians. Look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I want you to notice this. Jesus came to the earth to bring peace to the Jews. But friend, He went to the cross to bring peace to every heart in the world. Colossians 3. Notice what He said in verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful. You notice Paul talks about a peace not on the earth, but a peace in our hearts. Notice what he said in Colossians 1. Colossians 1 and verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. He went to the cross to bring peace to every heart here today. I want you to know you can have peace in your heart. You may not have peace in your life. You may not have peace in your marriage. You may not have peace in your home, but you can have peace in your heart. When the world is turned upside down, your heart can beat just fine. When everything around us has fallen to pieces, Paul is talking about a peace that rules through everything we go through. Isn't it amazing when God's people go through tragedy and they get down and they get low? It's kind of like Job. His friends just try to whoop him down because they didn't understand why he was still singing, why he was still praying in the midst of that worst adversity. It's because he had a peace that ruled within his life. Let me tell you something today. We need that peace. We may not have peace on earth, but I promise you Jesus can bring peace to your heart today. He can bring peace to your heart. I want you to notice what it said there in Colossians 3. Colossians 3 and 15. And let the peace of God. I want you to know that God can bring peace to your heart. God can bring peace to your life today. How many of us want the peace of God? I believe every one of us do, don't we? We want the peace that God can bring. Well, how do we receive that peace? If you're going to have the peace of God, you've got to make peace with God. And so many people try to live this life and find peace outside of the Lord. You cannot do it. And let me tell you something. Let me just tell you the problem today. Let me tell you the source of chaos. It's called sin. And that sin has alienated us and the Lord. That sin has put us in distance from the Lord. He has separated us. We are enemies with God. But we can make peace through the blood of the cross. Because Jesus went to the cross to reconcile us. And so that He paid that debt so that when we accept what He did, we can make peace with God.
There are so many people running around wanting the peace of God without making peace with God. Let me tell you something. God has a problem with us. We can avoid it, we can go around it, but God has a problem with us, and it's called sin. And don't think you can go on that so many people, well, if I'm going to church, it's going to be okay. Going to church is going to erase the problems. Friend, church is not going to erase the problems. Jesus is going to erase the problems. And it comes from acknowledging our sin and getting things right with God. How many times we try to go into church doors to override our sin? We live like the world Monday through Saturday, and then on Sunday we come in here, well, everything's okay, everything's okay. Friend, it's not okay. You know that and I know that. Sunday school's not going to erase that sin. BTC's not going to erase that sin, but the precious blood of Jesus will erase that sin. May I tell you that if you want the peace of God, you got to make peace with God. Let me tell you, we got to get right with the Lord. If we want peace in our life, we got to get right with Jesus. If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. If you're saved, you're miserable when you're not living inside the will of the Lord. How many times I've laid there at night in misery. David said, my bones roared. He was miserable when he kept silent. When he wouldn't repent of his sins. And we're praying, oh God, give me peace. Get right and you'll get peace. You say, well, that's blunt. Well, it's honest. If we get right, he'll give us peace. If we place our sin at the cross, having made peace through the blood of His cross. How do we make peace with God? Through the blood of Jesus. And then we can get the peace of God. Let the world turn upside down. In here, everything's all right. Let the economy go. God's people, we ought to be ashamed worrying so much. We ought to be ashamed for worrying as much as we do. Let this world be the world. Put your faith and trust in Jesus. Let him give you the peace that passeth all understanding. When that economy's down and low, I'm not seeking to get it better. I'm seeking the Lord. He said, you seek my kingdom first, and I'll add everything unto you. Let me tell you something, child of God. We've been so dependent on this world and this economy, and we've been so dependent on everybody else. Understand that what we need comes from Jesus. Comes from Jesus. You want peace? Let Trump come in with all these big promises. Let him come in. Let him establish all of this. Then what? We're still going to be broke because we spend too much. Hello? Let all these promises go. Let me tell you something. This country's not the problem. Our hearts is the problem. And we need peace in our hearts. Man, I'm so thankful that Jesus can bring peace to the heart of man. Aren't you? In the midst of adversity, I'm glad that Jesus can bring peace. Notice in Isaiah 11. If you're with me, say amen. Isaiah chapter 11. And I want to close with this. They denied this peace, so he went to the cross so that we can make peace through the blood of the cross. But friend, may I tell you, when the word of Obama and the word of Trump's no good, you can believe the word of Jesus. And may I tell you that there won't be true peace on this earth till Jesus comes again. And when Jesus came to bring that peace on this earth, that peace was rejected. Well, this time it won't be rejected. It will be established. It will be established. Notice Isaiah 11 and verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might, this spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall slay the wicked. In righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins. In faithfulness, the girdle of his reins. Isn't that beautiful? Notice this. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. A little child's going to be able to lead the wolf. He's going to be able to lead the lamb and the leopard. And the kid and the calf and the lion. That somebody as little as Kennedy can take a lion by the hand and lead them through. And the cow and the bear shall feed. And their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play in the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. That means the kids are going to play with snakes. Terrifies me. You get a snake, I don't want nothing to do with it. But in the world that we're speaking of here, there is no more danger. There is no more tragedy. There is no more snake bites. Hallelujah. Amen. There's no more venomous snakes. Can somebody say amen there? Come on. There's no more fire ants. Hello. There's no more sweating. Hello. There's no more sickness. Hello. There's no more hospitals. There's none of this stuff anymore. Because this peace that God wanted us to have all along, He's going to establish it upon the face of the earth. And all of this peace will be enjoyed and experienced. You let your child go outside and there's ants and there's wasps and there's bees and there's snakes and there's dogs and there's cats. Who knows what's going to get them? In the new kingdom, you can let them go. There's nothing to be hurt. There's no confusion that's going to come because Jesus will establish peace. I can't wait till I can go a whole day without getting one piece of bad news. Amen. I'm glad that where I'm going, there's not going to be any cancer there. I'm glad where I'm going, praise God, there's no disease. There's no flu virus. There's none of that. Jesus causes us to rest and have peace. Who's ready to go? I'm going to put two hands up. Man, I'm ready to go. Man, I'm ready to have that peace that passeth all understanding. I'm raising three kids. I want that peace. Amen. But let me tell you something. Whether my world gets turned upside down today, I pray the peace of God will rule in my heart for all of eternity. Y'all heard this before, but listen again. A man by the name of Horatio Spafford had a bad day. He was a lawyer in the 1800s that sent his family over to France, over to Europe. And he sent his family and he was gone the next few days. And in the midst of their journey over to France, they got in a wreck, collided with another ship. His wife and four daughters were on this ship. His four daughters were lost that day. He had already lost a son to sickness. And he got a telegram from his wife. And this is all it said. Saved alone, what shall I do? Saved alone, what shall I do? So this man, Horatio Spafford, went over to meet his wife to help. His world had been turned upside down. Everything in his life, it just about has been taken from him. But this was a saved child of God. And the peace of God ruled in his life. He got on the ship. He went over to Europe. And about the time they passed over this place where this wreck had took place, the captain had called Mr. Spafford into his room. And he said, Mr. Spafford, of our understanding, this is the place where you lost your four daughters. In the midst of his adversity, a song came to his heart. And only a child of God can do that, may I tell you. May I tell you that only a child of God can have a song come to their heart in the midst of the worst trial. And he began to pen some of the most beautiful words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trial should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be my sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well within my soul. Aren't you glad today that it can be well within your soul? Let's prepare this morning for an invitation. Let's stand. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, if I die today, I would go to that place called hell. I want you to come down and let me show you how to be saved. I want you to come and let me show you how to be saved." Child of God, if you're living with confusion and peace in your life, you need to get rid of it. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be blunt. I'm going to be honest. God's people have no part of living life like a Jerry Springer show. Y'all hear me? We have no business living life with that much confusion in our life. How do we do it? By faith in Jesus. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. Miss Marlene's going to sing this beautiful song. Y'all listen. As she sings, y'all come. These altars are open this
God. There's a voice calling me from an old rugged tree. And it whispers, "Draw closer to me. Leave this world far behind. There are new heights to climb, and a new place in me you will find. Take the dearest things to me, if that's how it must be, to draw me closer to Thee. Let the disappointments come, lonely days without the sun. If through sorrow, more like You to do, for whatever it takes. That's what I'll be willing to do. Take my houses and lands, change my dreams and my plans, for I'm placing my whole life in Your hands. And if You call me today to a land far away, Lord, I'll go and Your will obey. To draw closer to You, Lord, that's what I'll be waiting for.